Wow, good morning, church. Happy New Year. Hasn't this been such an inspiring service already? Man, what an amazing room of people to start a new year together with, isn't it? I'm so grateful to get to be here this morning, to have some of our campus ministry in the house, joining the singles ministry. And it's been just such a joy for me already to come in here and be a little bit overwhelmed at how many people I've gotten to see already that I haven't seen in a while. And just such a joy to see so many of you who were disciples in the campus ministry over the last decade plus that I've been in the campus ministry. But to see you faithful, growing in the singles ministry, I'm so inspired by the singles ministry and what you all are doing for God and the New York City Church. And I definitely want to say it's an honor to be with you all today to start the new year. I want to lift up and thank the Kings for leading the singles ministry, for asking me to come preach today. And I'm definitely excited to preach God's word for you this morning, this afternoon. And so I know you're all up late, but you got some energy. You got some faith, right? And I'll definitely appreciate that as we were all up late last night, but I know we're excited to dig into God's word. So I'm going to jump right into it here. You could turn over to 2 Peter chapter 1, and we'll look at that in just a second. But 2023, what's it going to be? Right? I need some slogan or something. What's it going to be? You know, many people are thinking about a strong start to the year financially, a strong start physically, a strong start educationally or with their career. And you know what? All that's good. I'm thinking about those things too. But the most important thing is a strong start spiritually. And you know, perhaps you aren't thinking too ambitiously today. I know this past year and those before it may have you worn out. They may have you jaded. But the truth is you shouldn't be. Because as Christians, as the people in this room amongst the millions of other people that woke up and are in different places this morning, as Christians, we have more reason for hope, for purpose, for motivation than anybody else has. The darker this world gets, the brighter we should be. And the more that we are needed in this world. Amen? 2023, what's it going to be? It's got to be a year of growth. A year of shining brightly for God. And 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 1 to 11 has always been for me a go-to passage for times of growth and goal setting and thinking forward. And I want to start off reading verses 1 to 11 this morning. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 1. Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who through the righteousness of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ, have received a faith as precious as ours, grace and peace be yours in abundance through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness, through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. Through these, he has given us his very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. We'll keep reading in a second, but this letter from Peter starts off making it very clear to us that there is nothing better than being a disciple of Jesus, right? We are so blessed. It says so much here. It says, from his own glory and goodness, not ours, he called us. He called you. It says that God has given you everything you need for life and godliness. It says we've escaped. We've gotten out. We've escaped the corruption in the world. And if you didn't catch it in verse 1, it says that he has given us an abundance of grace and peace. And I love where it says also that we have very great and precious promises. Yeah. Now today, do you realize how precious, valuable, and powerful your faith is? Do you realize just from that already how set up you are for life and for this new year? And right, because of how set up we are, what does it go on to say in verse 5? It says, for this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and self-control, perseverance, godliness, brotherly kindness, and love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, if you're growing spiritually, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now we'll keep going in a second here, but this passage, because of how great our faith is, it says, hey, you shouldn't try a little bit to grow, right? You shouldn't just wait and see if you'll grow. It says, make every effort to add to your faith, right? And that's not on other people. Hey, who's going to help me grow? Hey, you know, you decide, I'm going to grow spiritually. And the truth is, if you're a Christian, you should be growing. We're meant to grow. The Christian life should not be a fading, but a fanning into flame. You shouldn't be fading out. You should be fanning into flame. And this passage tells us that when you're growing, then your faith is effective and productive. It has an impact. And so how will you grow this year? Right, in your life, in your ministry, in your career, in your family, in this great city that we live in for God. How will you grow this year? Will you make every effort? What will you accomplish for God? And I want to encourage all of us, don't settle for less than what God can do through you. And as we each do that, imagine the miracles that we would see to His glory. We all need to grow. The challenge is that growth doesn't just happen automatically. Right? You can't just leave here and go about your life and go, yeah, I'm just going to grow spiritually. Right? Growth doesn't happen automatically. Actually, drifting does. In 2 Peter chapter 1, in verse 9, it says, if anyone does not have them, these qualities, and they're growing, he is nearsighted and blind, and has forgotten that he has been cleansed from his past sins. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, be all the more eager to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never fall, and you will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You know, growth doesn't happen automatically, drifting does. And this is why we're called at the end of this passage, hey, make every effort, be eager to do what? To confirm your calling. Hey, I was called to be a Christian. I answer that. I call myself a Christian. But are you living up to that calling? Do you need to reaffirm that calling? And we all need to do that at different times in our life. And so the title and main focus of our sermon this morning is renew your calling. That we could start 2023 all deciding to renew our calling to follow Jesus. Amen? Amen? Jesus has called you to follow him. And whether you said yes last year, 10 years ago, or 30 years ago, my prayer is that today we would all decide to renew our calling. To re-decide to be disciples of Jesus. And if you haven't decided that yet, that you'll be inspired to start the new year making that decision. And if we do that, we will all grow and we will all make a difference for God this year. Amen? You know, Peter, who wrote this, he's an amazing example of someone who had to renew his calling. And so I want to take a closer look at Peter this morning so we could follow his example. So you could turn over to Luke chapter 5, and I want to take a look at Peter's first calling. Right, so we could all go back to our first calling and remember why we're here in the first place. And so my first point to help us renew our calling is remember you're forgiven. Remember that you've been forgiven. You know, as time passes, we can get distracted, forgetful, apathetic, and even deceived. And I think remembering that we've been forgiven, remembering our first calling, can help us to renew our passion and our conviction to love God
and to follow Jesus. And Luke 5 is Peter's first calling. Let's read verses 1 to 11. It says, "One day as Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret with the people crowding around him and listening to the word of God, he saw at the water's edge two boats left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little from shore. Then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, who we know is Peter, 'Put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch.' Simon answered, 'Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything. But because you say so, I will let down the nets.' When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, 'Go away from me, Lord. I am a sinful man.' For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken. And so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. Then Jesus said to Simon, 'Don't be afraid. From now on, you will catch men.' So they put their boats up on shore, left everything, and followed him." Jesus entered Peter's life and turned his world upside down. In this passage, we see that Peter trusted Jesus over his own understanding. He obeys Jesus. And then he caught so many fish that his boat started to sink. The nets were breaking. In this moment of realizing how amazing Jesus was, the natural response of a humble heart is what Peter had. Peter realized his unworthiness. He fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Go away from me, Lord. I am a sinful man." And then we see in Jesus' response the heart of God. Instead of condemning him, Jesus calls him. He says, "Don't be afraid. Come, follow me. Here's my grace. Be my disciple." And instead of catching live fish that will die, you can join me in catching dead people and bring them to life. Yes. Turns Peter's world around, just like he did ours. Jesus shows Peter and he shows us that he is God, that he is gracious. He shows us that he could take care of us better than we could take care of ourselves, and that he calls us to live for something greater than anything else this world can offer. Amen. And so they did what any reasonable person would do. They left everything to follow him. And this is what we all did when we first truly encountered Jesus, isn't it? You know, when I studied the Bible 13 years ago and I saw Jesus and the truth for the first time, it was like scales fell from my eyes. It was humbling. It was heartbreaking, but it was also heart-moving, heart-filling. I saw how patient and gracious God had been with me my entire life. I saw my sin, I saw the cross, and I saw God's word clearly for the first time. When I was deeply selfish, immoral, seeking a life of comfort, claiming to be someone who loves God, but I didn't know the biblical plan for salvation, let alone what it truly meant to even be a Christian. And yet here I was looking at the scriptures, and there it all was, clear as day. And my immediate response was, "I don't deserve this." And so nothing mattered more than getting right with God. When can I get baptized? When can I have my next Bible study? What do I need to change? What do I need to do? I wasn't arguing with it. I was falling at my knees before Jesus because I knew I needed to be forgiven. And so I repented and I was baptized 7 days after my first Bible study. I was so excited for God to use my life to save others and to build his church. And through God's power in that first year as a Christian, I got to see 10 other people become disciples. And you know what? The truth is, I was then and still am today so grateful. And so I try to make it a habit throughout my life to pray through my past sin, to remember
who I was, to remember where I was. All God gave has given me, all he's forgiven me for. To think about, man, where would I be today if it wasn't for God and becoming a Christian? Where was I going? And whenever I'm getting off course, it always helps me to go back there, to remember my first calling. And I want to encourage all of you to do that this week, right? To do it today, but really this week, to take some meaningful time to remember your first calling, to remember when you were forgiven. Do you remember that time for you when you first were saved? Do you remember being broken by your sin when you saw the cross clearly? Do you remember realizing Jesus' immense love and grace for you? Do you remember surrendering Jesus as Lord of your entire life? And do you remember how refreshing, exciting, and joyful it was to come out of the waters washed clean? Don't let it just be a memory. Let it be a reoccurring reality. Right? So today, are you as grateful? Are you as passionate? Are you as humble before God as you were then? The truth is, we should be even more so. Right? If you forget what you were saved from, you will end up back there. In 2 Peter, it said, whoever does not have them is nearsighted and blind, forgetting that they have been cleansed from their past sins. This passage calls all of us today, don't be nearsighted and blind. Don't forget that you've been forgiven. Right? Don't live focused more on day-to-day wants, worries, desires of this world. It calls us, don't be blind thinking the world is without hope. Don't be blind thinking that some sin isn't as bad as you used to think it was. Don't be nearsighted, forgetting that you were saved and starting to think Jesus' church doesn't deserve you instead of remembering it's you that doesn't deserve Christ. You know, we could get overly focused on other people's sin, critical about the church, stuck on things, well, why don't we do this? Why can't I do this? Why do we do it this way? And all the while forgetting the simple heart of Peter, go away from me, Lord. I am a sinful man or woman. And remembering that Jesus' response to us in that is always going to the cross for us. And remembering that he sent someone from his church to save you. Remember, you've been forgiven. If we keep the cross before us, we will keep going and we will keep growing. And so to renew your calling, remember you've been forgiven. Amen? Amen? Second point to help us renew our calling. Recommit to following Jesus. You also with me? Yes. Recommit to following Jesus. You know, in 3 days, and I'm so fired up about this, in 3 days is Chelsea and my 10-year anniversary. 10 years, a decade. And every year when we celebrate our anniversary, we take out our wedding vows and we reread them and renew them to each other. You know, and I'll be honest, we haven't kept all of them perfectly. The big ones, the major ones, we've kept those. But I may have said some things like, I promise to make you laugh every single day. I think I've come close. You know, she says I've come close. I remember one time we were at a campus park service and I was talking with the one brother and I made some joke and he was cracking up and Chelsea was standing there. She walked over and he's just laughing. He said, man, how do you live with this guy? You must just be laughing all the time. And to my humbling, she said, he's not as funny after the first year. And that's because the truth is my wife is even funnier than I am. Most days I make her laugh. You know, we renew our vows and we've kept the big ones to each other. And here's the thing, our marriage is not a one-time commitment, but an ongoing one that we renew, that we keep recommitting ourselves to. And you know, along the way, those 10 years, it's not just been all highs, right? There have been highs, there's been lows, there's been hurts, there's been hardship, but there's been growth and there's been blessings. Each of us
have a covenant with God. A relationship that is even deeper, more important than any human relationship. In our relationship with God, in your covenant, He has been perfectly faithful. We've not been. Who's had ups and downs as a disciple? All of us, right? If not, you're lying and there's your down. Peter had his ups and downs. You know, Peter spends 3 years following Jesus. He walks on water. He proclaims Jesus is the Christ. But then he's also rebuked as being Satan for questioning God's will. And then he even denies knowing Jesus 3 times while Jesus is under arrest. Like the worst moment to do this. You know, you may be starting this year not in the best place you've ever been. But what do you do about it next? Where do you go from here? And Peter is a great example that your strongest, best years as a disciple can be ahead of you. Right? That even after the downs, you can recommit to following Jesus and have your best years before you. Let's go look at John chapter 21. We saw Peter's first calling. He lives out these 3 years with some ups and downs. Jesus dies. He rises from the dead. And then he has this interaction with Peter where he gives Peter his second calling. Because sometimes we need a second calling to follow Jesus. So let's look at it here in John 21. We'll start with verses 1 to 9. It says, afterward, Jesus appeared again to his disciples by the Sea of Tiberias. It happened this way. Simon Peter, Thomas, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and 2 other disciples were together. I'm going out to fish, Simon Peter told them. And they said, we'll go with you. So they went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Sound familiar? Early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples did not realize that it was Jesus. He called out to them, friends, haven't you any fish? No, they answered. He said, throw your net on the right side of the boat and you will find some. When they did, they were unable to haul the net in because of the large number of fish. Then the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, it is the Lord. As soon as Simon Peter heard him say it's the Lord, he wrapped his outer garment around him and jumped into the water. The other disciples followed in the boat, towing the net full of fish, for they were not far from shore, about 100 yards. When they landed, they saw a fire of burning coals there with fish on it and some bread. Jesus said to them, bring some of the fish you have just caught. Jump to verse 15. When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you truly love me more than these? Wow. Yes, Lord, he said, you know that I love you. Jesus said, feed my lambs. Again, Jesus said, Simon, son of John, do you truly love me? He answered, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Jesus said, take care of my sheep. The third time he said to Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, do you love me? He said, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. Jesus said, feed my sheep. I tell you the truth. When you were younger, you dressed yourself and went where you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go. Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. Then he said to him, follow me. This is Peter's second calling. You know, Peter and some of the other disciples, they were still together, but they lost their focus, their faith. They lost their kingdom drive. You know, Peter is likely disappointed, tired, and really emotionally rocked after all that he's just witnessed and been through. I'd imagine he was spiritually dizzy after denying Jesus, witnessing his death and not knowing what was going to happen next. And so they go back to fishing. They go back to what they had left behind. And again, they catch nothing. You know, I've been pulled there at different times for different reasons in my life as a Christian. You know, early on, it maybe was because of discouragement and failure and things I was trying to do for God. Along the way, I've been pulled to slow down or lose my faith and my zeal because of hurt and mistreatment from people in the church. I've been pulled there because of serious health and mental health challenges in our family, weariness during the pandemic, and this past year, grief and devastation at the tragic loss of Chelsea's brother. Each of these things have tugged on my heart to pull back, to be comfortable, to give less. And each time I've had to decide to see and hear Jesus again and to dive back in like Peter did. Yeah. Right? That's what I've done and that's what I will keep doing. Because only Jesus can fill our nets. All of this has always been with the help of godly people in my life. But we need to hear Jesus calling us back to him after we've fallen. You know, maybe today you, like them, are still here. You're still together with the other disciples, but you've lost your drive. You've lost your faith or you've lost your focus. You know, maybe over the years, the good has just gotten weaker. The good you ought to do. Your time with God is not the priority that it used to be. You're not as devoted to the fellowship. Maybe you haven't been in a Bible study in years, involved in helping somebody else become a Christian. Maybe you've weakened your convictions, right? Maybe the good has gotten weaker. Or maybe, like them with fishing, you've gone back to sin that you left behind. You've just gone back to selfishness or worldly desires, a desire for wealth. Maybe you've gone back to impurity and loosened standards on it. Maybe you've loosened your convictions on drinking and how much you let yourself drink. Maybe you're giving in to discontentment, things you said, I'm okay following Jesus without this, but now you're not so okay with it anymore. Maybe you've gone back to sin you left behind. When this happens, you need a second calling like Peter. Right? Jesus shows him again, like the first time, where life to the full is. It's in Jesus. And that's what we need to see. And so Peter does what? He repents. He rebaptizes himself. Not actually, right? But he dives into the water and swims after Jesus. He dives head first after Jesus. This is how we should all start the new year. Jumping, swimming, running after Jesus. Going back after Jesus. And whatever it is that we've drifted in, maybe it's the good that's gotten weaker. Maybe it's sin that we've gotten back to. We need to get personal about those things. Right? You can't just sit here and go, yeah, I've drifted. I'll move forward. Well, how have you drifted? Peter denied Jesus 3 times. They needed to talk about it. Right? Not just water under the bridge. No, we got to talk about this. And so Jesus asks Peter 3 times, just like he denied him 3 times. Do you love me more than these? It's simple, but it's deep. Do you love Jesus more than these? Right, more than these. What is he talking about? The fish? Fishing? Do you love me more than these, Peter? What you left behind? Do you love me more than what you were living for in the world? And that could be what he meant. Another thing he could have meant is, do you love me more than these? Pointing at the other disciples that were standing there. Scholars think this is the more likely meaning. And he's asking Peter, do you love me more than anyone else does? You know, this is like Paul saying he is the worst of sinners. We know biblically no one's really the worst of sinners. We all fall short of the glory of God. There is no difference, right? But in the same sense, we are all called to love God equally, but we should all want to have this heart of, man, I love God more than anybody else does. He is my greatest passion. He is what my heart is all about. Right? Do you love Jesus more than these? Right now in your life, do you love Jesus more than anything? Is there anything, and be honest, talk to somebody about it, and especially God. Is there anything you are showing more love, devotion, passion, or faithfulness to than you are to Jesus? And when you think about who loves Jesus the most in this room, it should be all of us with the heart to say, well, I don't know, but I kind of think I do. I love Jesus so much, it would be hard to imagine somebody else loves him more than I do. We should all believe it's me who loves Jesus the most. And so make that your goal, to love Jesus more than anything else, more than anyone else. And you could be sure that no one and nothing loves you more than he loves you. And so take some time to reflect. Pray earnestly to God and talk to someone about how you're doing and what you're recommitting to following Jesus is going to look like for you. And if something is going on in your life, then get personal. Be open. Talk about it with God and people in your life. Start the year freed from those things and recommitting to following Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
Let's dive headfirst into following Jesus. If you can understand this decision, we should all decide today to reaffirm, like we did at first, I am a disciple of Jesus. He is Lord of my life. Right? And then you leave here and you live from that. Have great time in your word and prayer every single day. Be humble. Be a learner. Get open about sin right away in your life. Repent of anything that might get between you and God. Make changes. Make decisions. Give things up that are in the way. Get back on the mission. Get on the mission for the first time, maybe. Lean into building the kingdom and be a light in this world. Hear Jesus calling you again, like he did with Peter. Follow me. And let's all answer wholeheartedly. Amen?
Amen.
I got one last point for us. You guys still with me?
Yes.
To renew your calling, you've got to decide to remain faithful to the end. I love in that verse in Peter where it ends talking about this rich welcome that we have to look forward to. You know, despite all Peter's failure, hardship, persecution that he endured, he never gave up.
Right.
He made it to the end, and that's ultimately what counts. Here's the thing, the calling that we've received, the calling that you've answered, is not for all of us just to become a disciple, but to die a disciple, to finish the race, right? When Jesus called you, he was calling you all the way home, not to just be a Christian for 10 years or 40 years, but to make it to heaven. In John 6, we see Peter was determined that he would never leave Christ. You know, in John chapter 6, verse 66, it says, "From this time, many of his disciples turned back and no longer followed him." "You do not want to leave too, do you?" Jesus asked the 12. Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life."
Yes.
You know, Peter had his rough spots, but his deep conviction was to never leave because he knew Jesus had the words of eternal life. Where else would he go? We should all see it that way. You know, as the new year starts, you may have to renew some subscriptions, right? You might have too many subscriptions. Sometimes when I'm helping brothers with their budgets, I'm like, "Do you need all these subscriptions?" There might be some subscriptions you forget you even have that you need to cancel. Here's the thing. Most companies don't even ask. They're like, "We'll just quietly assume that she wants to continue this subscription." Some of you might have done the 7-day free trial to watch the movie and then you never canceled it and you're still paying for it. You got to check your bills. You know, only some subscriptions should be renewed. Here's the thing. When you became a disciple, you didn't subscribe to Jesus for just 1 year at a time. You didn't make an emotional, rash decision. This was not a free trial. You studied the Bible. It took weeks or months, maybe. You saw your sin. You understood the cross. You wrestled. You surrendered. You changed. You counted the cost. They tried to talk you out of it, and they couldn't. And then you were buried with him. You died. You were buried with him in baptism and raised to a new life. And before you did it, somebody asked you, "What is your good confession?" And you said, "Jesus is Lord." And you meant that for the rest of your life. It was the best and most important decision you ever made. And it said here, many disciples turned back and no longer followed him. You know, sadly, you will, and many of you already have seen many people come and go. It happened in Jesus' ministry, It happens today. And it reveals who is here for people, who's here for themselves, and who is here for Jesus. Right? We're not here for the church and how it's doing that year. We're not here. The relationships are great most of the time, but we're not here for those either. Right? We're here for Jesus. It reveals who keeps their heart focused on Jesus and continually renews their calling to do what? To follow Jesus. Right? We need to be men and women who, despite whatever challenges, hardships, mistakes, or difficulties lie ahead, that whatever 2023 might bring, we will never give up on God, never give up on His truth, and never give up on His church. Amen? And I know I'm preaching to a room of people who are got up January 1st because you love God. You want to do great things for Him. And you may be thinking, of course, I'm going to make it to the end. But we've got to be careful if you think you're standing firm that you don't fall. Peter never thought he'd deny Jesus. But right there in the courtyard, there he was, denying he even knew Him 3 times. How do we end up somewhere we never thought we would be? Like I said at the beginning, it's a drifting. It's allowing distance in our discipleship that slowly grows and grows. In Mark 14, Jesus is arrested. And in verse 54, it says, Peter followed Him at a distance, right in the courtyard of the high priest. There he sat with the guards and warmed himself at the fire. Peter followed Jesus, but at a distance. He wanted to watch, but not put his skin in the game. He wanted to stay warm by the fire while Jesus was under the fire. Today, you've got to ask yourself, are you following Jesus at a distance? Here's some ways that you might be doing that. If in your heart, the truth is that you think, hey, I'll be saved, but I'm not comfortable trying to save others. I'll be part of His body, but only come when convenient. I'll be a disciple, but I don't want anyone to disciple me. Hey, I believe the Bible is true when it agrees with my worldviews. God's word is my standard, but maybe baptism isn't necessary for salvation. I like God's Spirit living in me, but I can't make time to spend with God every day. You know, I'll pray for that job. I'll take God's blessings, but I can't give weekly, let alone 10%. I need that for myself, movies, and mimosas. My subscriptions. Whose kingdom are you building? How about this? I want to feel loved in the church. I want to feel loved in His kingdom, in this community, but I can find love outside of it. Following Jesus at a distance. Check your heart. You know, whatever it is for you, don't let there be distance in your discipleship. When Peter followed at a distance, he gave in to the greatest regret of his life. You've got to notice when you're drifting and choose to lean back in, to follow Jesus closely, to make every effort to add to your faith and confirm your calling. And that's easy to do when life is going well. But this is the mindset we need, especially when life is difficult. When it's hard, to decide to stay close to God and be like Jesus anyway. What gaps in your discipleship do you need to close today? Where have you been drifting that you need to redevote yourself? Now, fortunately, Peter turned things around. Again, that's not automatic. Drifting is. We've got to decide to renew our calling. But Peter turned things around and he stayed faithful. He followed Jesus closely to his end. You know, Peter was a leader and an elder in the Jerusalem church. And he eventually followed Jesus to Rome to preach the word. Not at a distance, but as a fisher of men, feeding his sheep like Jesus told him to. And it's in Rome that Peter was arrested, tried, and crucified. He was stretched out like Jesus told him he would be. And here's the thing, is that Peter's wife, also a faithful disciple, was with him. And before they nailed him, they made him watch her be crucified first. Church history tells that as she was being dragged away, Peter yelled to her, "Remember the Lord." And she did. And when his turn came, he demanded to be crucified upside down because he didn't see himself worthy of dying the same way as Jesus. He didn't deny Jesus this time. He lived for him and then he died for him. And what he was focused on that kept him faithful to the very end is what he wrote in 2 Peter that I read at the beginning. In 2 Peter 1 verse 10, where he said, "Therefore, my brothers and sisters, make every effort to confirm your calling and election. For if you do these things, you will never fall. And you will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ." This was his final opportunity to confirm, "Yes, I am still a disciple of Jesus. I will go anywhere, do anything, give up everything for him, even my life today." He knew what he was looking forward to. That rich welcome was worth it. Amen. Is this what you're living for? Will you stay faithful to the very end? Are you living for that rich welcome in Jesus's eternal kingdom? You know, we have something so great we are looking forward to. Let's all start and finish 2023 strong in our faith. Amen?
Amen.
But let's not only do this here. Let's live out the rest of our lives following Jesus, renewing our calling so that we will finish faithfully and receive that rich welcome. Just spend time picturing it once in a while. Why are you doing this? What are you persevering for? What are you sacrificing for? That rich welcome. Jesus, your Lord and Savior, standing there to welcome you into his heavenly home that he has prepared for you. We'll be gathered round together with all our faithful friends, like we sang about before this. You know, this morning, let's each renew our calling. Let's renew our calling to follow Jesus. Remember you were forgiven. Remember why you became a Christian. Remember that you were saved. You are a sinner that Jesus saved. And from remembering that, recommit to following Jesus. Decide again and again and again to be his disciple. And decide not to follow at a distance, but to make every effort to grow and to live a productive and effective life for God in 2023. And as we each do that and remain faithful to the end, we will see so many miracles along the way. And together, every one of us will join together in receiving our eternal, rich welcome. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Thank you guys for having me today. To God be the glory.